Hello, everybody. My name is Brady, and welcome to another Noisebleed Wrestling Podcast. Yesterday, we talked about SmackDown. The day before, we talked about Raw. Today, we're going to wrap up the week and talk about NXT and the Cruiserweight Classic. And later this week, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the SummerSlam event that's coming up, as well as NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 2. TakeOver Brooklyn last year was an awesome event, and I don't think there's been as good an NXT TakeOver event since or prior. It's probably the best so far, and I'm hoping that Brooklyn 2 lives up to the name. NXT is in a very unstable situation right now. Their roster just got raided. They're really relying on some new people. They have Andrade Almas. They have Bobby Roode, who's really taking the reins right now. That's great. We have Nakamura doing his first main event. Samoa Joe is probably going to be on the way out soon, if not with this one. The next takeover, he's probably going to be on his way out because they're probably going to want to give the title to some of these new people they have coming in. I see Bobby Roode getting that title sooner rather than later. And the best way to do that would be against somebody like Nakamura, somebody who's beloved by the fans. And I think those two would interact so well. We have Bayley versus Asuka coming up. Everything's going to be cool. I'll give you my predictions in the future. But let's talk about this episode of NXT, which opened up. Actually, it only had two matches, but it opened up with Hideo Itami and Mustafa Ali from the Cruiserweight Classic. Mustafa Ali is decent. I thought when I saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic that he was pretty good. He seemed to play somewhat of a heel role, he seems like he doesn't think his shit smells type of heel, and I kind of like that. He commits to being a heel. Very few people in that tournament really felt the need to establish themselves as faces or heels. Typically, people want to like the cruiserweights, so it tends to be very face-heavy if you do have a division that is centered around cruiserweights. A lot of people like them. A lot of them are bright and colorful. Their movesets are things that appeal to the younger crowd, to the older crowd. They're very universal, so they're natural faces. So people like Mustafa Ali are rare, and I really hope the best for him. He was pretty good in his match against Hideo Itami. Itami, obviously, he goes over. He hits him with one of the best baseball slides I've ever seen. He wins with a big knee, and we still haven't seen the GTS from Hideo Itami. The guy who innovated the move, comes to NXT, still hasn't used it at all. That's how you make a move strong. Not using it until you really need to. And I doubt he's going to use it until he's about to win the NXT championship or till he's on his way out of NXT. He might not even use it until he reaches the main roster. He's really treating this move like it's something special. And that is how it's got to stay. But once he gets to the main roster, I won't be surprised if WWE wants him to break it out more and more and more. That's one thing that I'm nervous about when it comes to Finn Balor on the main roster. We just saw him break out the demon makeup on a regular episode of Monday Night Raw when it's normally just reserved for pay-per-views. So I'm concerned with Finn Balor. Are they going to have him be the demon every single pay-per-view? Is it going to be just the big four, which seems like how it should be? SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania. Break out the demon for those, but if you go overboard, people will get sick of it. The magical thing about TakeOver is that it's quarterly, pretty much. So you don't have to worry about them overdoing it if they break it out every single TakeOver event. And they didn't even always do that in his tag team match with Samoa Joe for the Dusty Classic. He didn't break up the demon makeup, even though he could have justified that, even though the demon doesn't seem like much of a tag team type of persona. He could have done it. He could have explained it well, and Samoa Joe would have been a decent foil for the demon, but he didn't do it. And I hope Hideo Itami commits to keeping the GTS rare, if not just completely non-existent most of the time. I never want to see him break it out on a Monday Night Raw. I never want to see him break it out on a regular episode of NXT unless he's defending or about to win the title. it's really good how he treats that move. So I'm excited for Hideo Itami. I don't know too much about him because he was on his way out when I was on my way into NXT, which is kind of a shame. I feel like I really missed out on a lot with him. I think he's going to be awesome, and I hope that injury doesn't come back to bite him. That's really my big concern with him. That's a big concern with plenty of people. Most of this episode of NXT was building up to TakeOver. A lot of promo packages. We have stuff for Bayley and Asuka. We have stuff for Austin Aries and No Way Jose, which is surprisingly being billed as something very serious. No Way Jose is actually showing that he can put on a serious face every now and then, and I'm very excited for that match. We see Billie Kay and Ember Moon being announced for TakeOver. I don't even remember who Billie Kay is exactly. I know I've seen her job plenty of times throughout her time in NXT, but I'm not sure exactly which one she is. Ember Moon, I've seen some pictures of her, but I still don't know anything really about her, so I'm really excited for that match. I'm hoping that she's the woman who can really save NXT's women's division, because if Bayley's on her way out and it's on the back of Asuka, she's going to be holding that title for a while, because I don't see any of these women taking it off of her, especially with the new women's showcase that they did at the end of NXT here, where they have Carmella and Alexa Bliss leading their own little team of three into a tag team match, and we get introduced to a couple new characters. We have, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Daria Baronado, who has kind of an MMA gimmick. She has the cornrows, she has the gloves, even though she took the gloves off right in the beginning of the match, which kind of seemed silly. Why would you do that in your first match of all things? Okay, enough messing around. I haven't even laid a finger on you, but enough messing around. It kind of defeats the purpose of having the gloves to begin with. Then we have Mandy Rose, who is kind of a generic diva. I believe she was a member of Tough Enough. I believe that's what I was told. Carmella has a team with Liv Morgan, who's pretty much a Carmella lookalike. And we have Nikki Glencross, who is kind of a generic female wrestler. She has kind of a generic look to her. She wore all blue, and I was like, is that blue pants? Is that this blue pants that I vaguely remember from the past? But no, it was just some chicken blue. And I don't get the appeal of most of these people. A lot of them really need work. I know a six-man tag is not exactly the best way to showcase your skill, but anytime any of these new people were in, it felt plodding, it felt slow, it felt unnatural. Carmella and Alexa Bliss really seemed like they had to carry this match, and even when they were in the ring, it seems like they were held back by the awkwardness of the new girls. So I hope they get better. They have time. They're in developmental for a reason, so let them develop. Carmella wins with her submission thing, that little, I don't remember. They gave it a name. I'm not sure exactly what it is, though. It's that neck lock that she does with her legs, which is really, it is a good move. Carmella yells a little bit too much. Well, throughout her entire match, she yells and moans a little bit too much. Especially in that move, she can get a little bit annoying. And I want to like her because she does have a great, likable personality. And I think of when she was with Enzo and Cass, and she was the perfect foil for them. For some reason, she's on her own now. I don't know why. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. But whatever. The show closes with Samoa Joe and Nakamura in an interview, which was kind of awkward because Nakamura was saying very little and Samoa Joe was just kind of reaching for a reason to get pissed off and blow up this entire interview. Joe has to come to the main roster soon, first of all. He is great. Bobby Roode can perfectly take the place of Samoa Joe. He has a place on the main roster. And Samoa Joe has come out recently and said that he wants to compete with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32 this year, which would be really cool if they let that happen. It seems more like a dream match than something they'd allow in reality. But it would be really cool if they let him do that. Samoa Joe, if they actually put him over Brock Lesnar, I would believe it. Samoa Joe is one of the most legit seeming people in wrestling today. He was really a steal for WWE, and I hope they don't fuck this up. That's just the most important thing in the world to me right now. I hope they don't fuck this up. Nakamura, as always, he's soft-spoken, but his calm delivery is great, and that seems to get under Joe's skin. And then Samoa Joe just kind of flips out of nowhere. It didn't seem like there was anything really directly that pissed him off. I don't really understand at all, actually. But that's NXT. How about we talk about the Cruiserweight Classic for a little bit before I wrap up this podcast? So this episode featured three matches, one really worth talking about, one that I'm barely going to talk about, and one that was just okay, and I am really excited for how it's going to be followed up. The one that I'm not going to talk about that much, Noam Dar versus Ho-Ho Lun. Ho-Ho Lun seems fine. I could easily see him or Noam Dar signing to WWE. Ho-Ho is cartoonishly selling his knee the entire match, and Dar wins with a knee bar. So I guess they followed up that well. I don't know. He damaged the knee, attacked the knee. He sold it well enough, and then boom, he beats him with the knee bar. It's classic. That's how you're supposed to do it. Then we have Brian Kendrick versus Tony Nese. Tony Nese is like the big, strong guy who I do not believe is a cruiserweight. He reminds me of Scott Putski, I believe that's his name. Back when they had the light heavyweight division, they had a guy named Scott Putski, which did not really fit in. He looked like a total heavyweight just fighting amongst them. And it seemed like Vince kind of sticking his fingers in things that he didn't understand. Because back then, the light heavyweight division was used to compete with the cruiserweight division of WCW, which was the luchadors, the Japanese wrestlers, all the high flyers, people like Jericho, people like Dean Malenko. A lot of fun going on there, but they didn't give us that. They gave us people like Taka Michinoku, which was great. He really did fit in that division, but then you give him somebody like Scott Putski. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. And it just seems like Vince is like, you need some big, strong men in this division. And he doesn't really understand that the appeal is to get away from those generic wrestlers and get into the realm of athletics, creativity, those sort of things. The difference with Tony Nese and Scott Putski, though, is that he could wrestle like a cruiserweight, which I think makes him the total package in this sense. I was rooting for Brian Kendrick the whole time, but Tony Nese is great. Just aesthetically, he reminds me of Scott Putski. But I think I'm really totally in on him, and I hope he does well. I'm not sure what he has in the realm of personality. I don't know what's possible for him, but I really do hope they sign him. I hope they sign everybody in the Cruiserweight Classic. I know they won't, but it would be really cool if they did. Maybe split them between the two brands. Give bring back the light heavyweight division. Give SmackDown that. Give them that to work with. Then they would have more to work with than they would really need, and I think that would be really cool. The match that I really wanted to talk about, though, Brian Kendrick was great. And he played the perfect cowardly heel, cheating at every opportunity, really utilizing the ref's 5 count, and eventually winning with that little cross face thing that he does. I'm not sure exactly what the name of the move is, but it's kind of like a cross face choke, and I think it's a cool move. The match that really stole everybody's hearts, Jack Gallagher, and if you don't know which one that is, he's the guy with the handlebar mustache, and Akira Tozawa, the guy with the amazing German suplex. They went at it, and it was amazing. Both of these guys are really people who don't need WWE, who could be perfectly successful without them, but I really want WWE to snatch them up. Gallagher surprisingly wrestles circles around Tozawa. I think people went into this cheering for Tozawa, and Jack Gallagher just won their hearts along the way. By completely toying with Tozawa, it was really great. There was one point in the match where he actually wrapped Tozawa up into kind of like a ball sort of thing, and he started bouncing up and down, and he couldn't move. He couldn't get out of it. And then he literally kicked him up his anus, which I didn't think was legal in WWE's rules, but that was great. Gallagher is charming as hell. I think he's great. I want him to lead the new vaudevillain faction. I want him to teach them what it's like to really wrestle like a gentleman. With creativity like him, like, you can't go wrong. He would make an amazing... I want him to be Intercontinental Champion tomorrow. That's what should happen with Jack Gallagher. And I was surprised, because he really wrestled circles around Tozawa the entire match, frustrating the hell out of him, and Tozawa wins with a German suplex. People were actually disappointed at the end when they were totally all in on both these guys. Gallagher kind of won the entire crowd over, and they seemed kind of disappointed after Tozawa ended up winning. Though I was rooting for Tozawa to begin with, Gallagher was just too good. He was too good for me to cheer against. He was too good for me to not want to see him go further. I want him to win the whole thing, but he didn't end up winning, which is kind of sad. From what I read, they're really looking to sign him, which I think would be just great. We've already seen people like Mustafa Ali this week, Kota Ibushi the week before, I think, and before that, I believe, Sean Maluda. We've seen plenty of people from the Cruiserweight Classic competing in NXT, though we haven't seen any of them make another appearance, which is kind of saddening. I would love to see more of these guys. I would be so hyped if I saw Jack Gallagher step into an NXT ring next week. That would be great. Not to job, to get in there, beat somebody up, and be on NXT every single week, because this guy is just great. Oh my god, I'm in love. It's amazing how technical he was. He was nice and slow and plodding, and the way he delivered his moves, he took his time, but every single motion was necessary, and that's the type of wrestling you can really respect. Somebody who doesn't really fluff it up too much, somebody who just has purpose in everything they do, but somehow still has the charisma of... I don't even know how to describe it, just the charisma of a thousand men. He's amazing. So, I hope to see Gallagher soon. NXT was good, but it was kind of light on the wrestling. Only two matches in a night. I think they could have squeezed in one more if they cut down on the promo packages, but, you know, promo packages come first, I guess. It's kind of annoying since TakeOver is this week. You'd think they would really try to pack some stuff in there. But they didn't, so I would say it was a kind of a weaker episode of NXT for that reason alone. I think the matches were fine. I mean, the women's match wasn't good, but it showcased some new talent, which I think is what NXT is all about. That's what it should be about, so that's something. Besides that, any of that, I don't think I have anything else to say, so I'm going to wrap this up. I'll see you guys for my TakeOver and SummerSlam predictions. I might just do them both in one podcast later this week, probably on Friday or Saturday. We'll see. I'll see you guys then. Thank you for listening or watching. Check the links in the description box below to follow me on social media. Check out this podcast elsewhere, iTunes, YouTube, Daily Motion. It's on my Facebook page now, so you can check it out there if that's your preferred listening experience. It's everywhere I could put it. So I hope you guys have some preference here, and I hope you find it. I'll see you guys next time. Brady out.